I use the title, I'm not sure. Let God Be True. It's on January 28th, 2018. And so that we can keep this in our record. But anyway, I had a dream. And a well-known minister, I don't know who he was, but I knew that he was well-known. He called me up and said that he had been listening to our messages and our testimonies. And anyway, and he wanted to get in contact, and he wanted to, I don't know what he wanted to do, but anyway, it was just a dream. So for what it's worth, Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." And, you know, it took a while for this to happen. And because we're looking for our natural kin, you know, our natural relatives, and that everybody loves our family. But what happens is our real family is not gonna be our natural family. Our real family is gonna be what we end up with in heaven, and whoever is there, and it's those that heard God's word and did it, and pleased Him, you know. And so anyway, I gotta make sure. I got some notes, but I want to make sure that it's probably in the message. I'm not sure. Yeah, if it's not, I'll get to it here. Let God be true, and of course He is, and He has a right to be. And so, since the first commandment is to love the Lord God with all of our hearts, and men don't. And my question is, do you suppose that God considers that sin? Is that sin? If God says love you, we are to love Him with all of our hearts and we don't, is that considered sin? And what about the fact that God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth? And Jesus informed us that God's word is the truth. So rather than consume only God's word, like Smith Wigglesworth did, we insist upon taking into our system the puny thought patterns of men. And do you suppose that God sees that as sin? This came up in conversation today, and I was just really happy about it. But anyway, God has set it up for us to develop His thought patterns. And the thoughts of God are higher than our ways, and that this is what the Bible consists of. So He wants us to become like Him and like Christ. And so Christ, it appears that Christ didn't have any thoughts of His own. He must have had thoughts, but He didn't use His own will. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." And so He only did what the Father told Him to do. He only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. Now, that is hard for us to understand, but that is what God wants. The thoughts of God through Christ will make us like Christ. See, the thoughts of God. So when God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, it says in Hebrews 1, and then He spoke to us through His Son, what were the thoughts that He used? Weren't they His high, divine, wonderful, glorious, most precious thoughts? He didn't speak to us some, you know, lesser thoughts. He spoke the high thoughts. So the Bible consists of the thought patterns and the high thoughts and the will and the things of God. And so when we try to compare and try to use the Word of God and put it and mix it in with the lesser thoughts of men, we got a problem. And so Jesus said, "If you continue in My Word, you're My disciples." And the thing is, I've continued in all kinds of people's word over the years, and without realizing that I became their disciples. You know, that's what we do. And so, but if we have the thoughts of God through Christ, then we become Christ's disciples. And the thoughts, while the thoughts of men will make us like their lower nature, you know, is that kind of what happens through Community Chapel? Out of the abundance of whatever people are, their mouth speaks, and so do their hands write. We write down what the thoughts that are in our minds. And I saw this thing in one of the magazines I got from Jeff, and it says, don't believe everything you think. And I thought that's one of the greatest things that I've seen lately. Don't believe everything you think. Because a lot of people think that their thoughts are so great that they believe their own thoughts. See, in the Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith we understand. And I'd like to say that through faith I began to understand that what makes the Bible so different than all other books is the fact that it is made up of the thoughts and the ways of the eternal and awesome Creator. I've looked at the Bible and I thought, there's not anything like this. I've never read any book like this. And can people actually take this and read it and read other books and try to make the two or use them to compare with each other? You can't do it. There's not anything in this Bible that work that goes along with any other book I've ever read. And of course, Pablo made a good statement today in something, because I had said, well, if the Pharisees were of their father the devil and they prayed long prayers, the Bible says, do I want them praying for me? And anyway, and see, that's a kind of a prejudiced, one-sided, lopsided look, if we're not careful. And anyway, and that's what I like. I love about our church system, the way that it works. I'm not offended if somebody corrects me, or if because I had a lopsided approach to it, and I don't want that. Because the other thing is, while we're in the process of becoming Christ-like, we're making mistakes, but we still pray. Our prayers are what help us through it. You know what I'm saying? And so we can't just write everybody off as saying that they're praying to the devil, or the devil's in their prayers. It doesn't work. And so, see, God is true. And man can be, if and when we agree with God. We can be true, too, if we agree with God. And do as God says. See, as the awesome genius behind all things that exist, God decides the rules that His creation is to live by. And then in 1 John 5, verse 3, we are told that God's commandments are not grievous. What God does is not grievous. They're nice to those who resist the words of God and stubbornly refuse to even consider the possibility that God is who He claims to be. His ways could be grievous. God could make it hell on earth. But anyway, most churchgoers are not able to let God be true, but rather are led to believe that the great wisdom and intelligence of the church leaders is the intelligence God wants men to see. You know, I mean, why would God make men so intelligent if He didn't want us to follow Him? Why would He do it? But see, that's how we get deceived by the devil. And so men try to give glory to God for what they think is His word. For what God has done through, you know, and it's like, be really careful. It's kind of like Paul said, you know, John said in 1 John, he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. And so, Paul said in Philippians 3:3, he said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Well, you know what? I have, over the years, I've had a lot of confidence in the flesh. And the reason is because men are never dependable. That includes me. We are not dependable. We our heart could be good, but we are never dependable. Even David was a man after God's own heart. And he sinned. He fell short. But God said he's a man after his own heart. In spite of the fact that he had Uriah the Hittite killed, he took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, you know, and she became a queen. And he paid a big penalty for it, but he was still a man after God's own heart. And the Apostle Paul, who gives a negative resume of himself in the seventh chapter of Romans. And he says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. And I thought, don't you can include me in that too, Paul. Been there, done that. My heart has been good, but, you know, I got a strange good feeling the other day. You know how it's easy to get a negative feeling about ourselves, and I do it frequently. And I got this good feeling. It's like, you know, for over 50 years, in one way or another, I have wanted to serve God. I have failed, and I've had my ups and I've had my downs, but I have wanted to. And you know what that is? That's he that endures to the end. And now I'm in the best place I've been, I think. I say I think in the end because only God knows exactly where we are. And so God had to give Paul a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, and which we think is bad eyesight. Maybe not, but just from some of the comments he made and the fact that he had some other people. He was a writer. He could write himself. He had a good education. But he had other people write for him. And so which tells us that maybe it was his eyesight. But anyway, because he was given this revelation and had a vision and saw these things that were glorious. And in spite of those things, it says that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. And Paul prayed the Lord three times. And I'm thinking, what do you mean, just three times, Paul? And you think that because you prayed three times, that should be done? He sought the Lord three times. And finally the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So you go with what you got. And so because of the visions, you know, that God gave him, unless he should be exalted, or maybe exalt himself above measure in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Right now, I think I know who I am. And you can look at me and say, well, we think we know who you are too. I think I know who I am. And will remain humble and broken before God. However, God knows me better than I know myself. And this is what, you know, I'm a creation. And no matter what else I am, I'm a creation. God made me from the dust of the earth. And God knows exactly who I am, what I will do, and what, you know, the temptations and the trials and so, you know. And so I asked the Lord to let me be led by His Holy Spirit, so that I don't go off into another stupid land trip of some kind, you know. And I'm too old for many more dead-end roads. And as this whole thought hit me, I realized why only those who are actually led by the Holy Spirit are the true sons of God. I began to realize why those are led by the Spirit. They're the sons of God. They're the true sons of God because they have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them. That makes sense. Did it make sense? After a while, it starts to make it. And so I think, how exactly would the Holy Spirit, who is sent by God, lead and guide the sons of God? He would guide them towards the truth. Wouldn't he guide him towards the truth? This morning, a little See, Jesus said in the first recorded instance in the book of Mark, in verse 15, it says, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, the gospel message is actually, we call the New Testament the gospel, but the four books are the gospel books, supposedly. And in these books, we see nothing about the Trinity. We see nothing about Jesus making himself God. We see none of these things. Those were all additions that happened a couple hundred years after the Bible was written. And so then, if that's the case, and we are to repent and believe the gospel, don't we believe the gospel and repent? Doesn't it go both ways? So if we don't see it, don't we repent of something we're doing that's foreign to the Scriptures? I have taught the Trinity. I have taught today's oneness thing that is not even scriptural. And I have done what other people have done. I have pulled it at all kinds of, what do you call it? Pulled at strings and tried to pull, you know, to make it fit. And I could never make things fit. Even though I had the Search for Truth book that was published by the UPC, and I taught a lot of Bible studies out of this thing. But, you know, there were things about it that were not following the Scripture. And we used Scriptures, supposedly, to teach things that I could never make them fit. And so how exactly would the Holy Spirit, who is led and sent by God, lead and guide the sons of God? He would guide us into the truth. And that's what it says in John 16:13. When we see hundreds of church organizations who have strange doctrines that disagree with each other, you know, Jude 19, verse 19, and yet all groups claim that the Holy Spirit led them to those doctrines. Any group you want to ask, how did you get your doctrine? We were led here by the Holy Spirit. And you know what that makes me think? If that's the case, God has an unruly Holy Spirit. He has one that speaks with forked tongue, like the Indians used to say. See, what happens, it shows the presence of the same deceiver that got to Adam and Eve. And the devil is so good at what he does to the point that he causes people to think that the false thing that he gives them is truth. He makes them think it's truth. The Pharisees were convinced that they knew the truth. And so when Jesus said, if you listen to my word, you're my disciples and you'll know the truth. And it was offensive. And so right away, quick, they got offended by it, see? And so they said, what do you mean, know the truth, and we'll be set free? The thing they were thinking is, we've always had the truth. We know the truth. And see, how many people today, how many church groups would say the same thing, you know, well, we have the truth. And so then, men steeped in false doctrine will persecute those that God gives truth to and be so deceived that they will think that they are doing God's service. And since Matthew 7:14 tells us that few there be that find it, that lets us know that many there be that won't find it. That don't take a Philadelphia lawyer to get that one, does it? If only a few there be that find it, it means that there's going to be a lot of people that don't find it. In Matthew 7, verse 15, we are warned to be aware of false prophets. And guess how you can tell them? They come in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. You know what that tells me? You can't tell them apart. They look like the real thing. I mean, they might even think they are the real thing. But in reality, it says that they are ravening wolves. In verse 13, we are warned about those who believe that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to heaven, while in reality they are headed for destruction. That's what it says. Wide is the gate and broad is the way, and those that walk in it end up in destruction. See, take a good look around us, and we see the wide and the broad mentality. That's all I can see in the church system that we have around us today. It's a broad and wide mentality. I'm saved, you're saved, he's saved, we're all saved. But, you know, let's get together and we'll have a few drinks and we'll just worship the Lord. And so, to the point that many churchgoers are all gung-ho on the unity through diversity. They think it's really great, and because they think wide is the gate and, you know, broad is the way that leads to eternal life. That idea is totally contrary to the unity through God, through God's truth teaching. And that's what it is. It's unity through God's truth. It's unity through truth. Preach the truth in love. And so, like Jesus told the Jews, and due to the false doctrines mostly inherited within today's churches, see, people inherit their doctrines, most churchgoers neither know the Word of God or the power of God. You know what? I had what I thought was a halfway decent grip on the Word of God. I didn't have a clue. Because I had never really had the Holy Spirit engaged. I had had men engaged. I went by what men said. You know, I trusted the intellectuals, the wise and the prudent, the ones that God hides the truth from. Inherited doctrines are usually contrary to the power teachings within God's Word. And so men just automatically deny God's power whenever the Holy Spirit begins to move. This happened at Azusa Street. Things begin to happen, and of course God has a way of making sure. See, this is back in a time when there was a lot of prejudice as far as color is concerned and who people were. And one of the main people in the Azusa Street mission was a black fellow. And so I could imagine that didn't go over really big with a lot of people, you know, and so that would give them reason to doubt that God was in it. And when I received the Holy Spirit and saw signs and wonders, the old line church system that we were going to was upset with Joanne and I, thinking that we were the ones that were introducing tongues. See? We were introducing tongues to their precious, precious church. When in reality, tongues came along with a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't ask for it. It just happened. And when people received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they all spoke in tongues, which people have taken to be the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. It doesn't, but it does, and it doesn't say that Paul spoke in tongues when he received the Holy Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." And the question is, when did it happen? And I'm saying that he didn't get it right away, and probably came later. In Romans 1:25, it refers to those who change the truth of God into a lie. See, Romans 1:25, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and who worshipped and served the creature or the created ones more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. There's a judgment on those who changed the truth of God into a lie and who worshipped and served the creature, what God created, more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And then in verse 26 it tells us, see, now listen. Because men worshipped idols, images, things that they, instead of God, thinking that was God, it tells us that for this cause, and whenever we see the "for this cause," we better be really alert to what the verse before that said. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Because they worshipped images, God gave them up to vile affections. And the word vile meant morally base, evil, wicked and depraved, sinful, offensive. I don't know, I'm trying to read my writing and I can't. And from what I appear to see, by worshiping anyone or anything other than the only true God is a cause that God, that caused God to turn men over to a reprobate condition because they made idols. Do we have idols today? And so he made the over to reprobates, and that's in, I think that's in 2 Thessalonians. But anyway, a reprobate means to be corrupt, a scoundrel, excluded from salvation by God. A reprobate is somebody that God doesn't even intend to save, lost in sin and beyond salvation. That's what it means to be a reprobate. My right arm is hurting, hurts me so bad right now. We're all God's creation. And as such, whatever God says is the way that it always was and it always will be. Whatever God said, that's how it is. And so that's why what we need are these thoughts and these ways embedded in us. Thank God that He turned us into the listening to the Scriptures day and night until we become what this is. I got a major revelation the other day, Ken. It might be in here, I'm not sure. But anyway, I mentioned it this morning. And in case it isn't, I'm going to say it now while I remember it. The other day, see, when I, about 19 years ago, I was desperate and in agony in hell. And I prayed and I knew I was going to go to hell. If the Lord came, I was going to go to hell. I was just asking, please don't come yet. You know? And I was asking the Lord to give me the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You know, knock on the door, you know, the door will be open, and seeking you'll find, and asking you shall receive. And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And so I was asking, and I kept on asking, I kept on asking, I kept on asking. It never happened. But it did happen, and I didn't even recognize it. And I've had to repent. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and we weren't even aware of it. Everybody in this church has been benefiting from it. The Spirit, you know what Jesus said? When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. What has been happening? Some of these things come into my mind, and I tell Joanne, I say, you know, all of a sudden it's there. I don't know where it came from. And sometimes I'll sit down and I'll cry because I think I never could have thought that up. Just some of the revelations, things that come. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit is involved. He's been guiding us. He's been helping us. And so while we're feeling sorry for ourselves, the Holy Spirit is right there and giving us revelation and truth and understanding. And so God left men with a book that explains who and what He is. How important is it? How important is it that we know who and what God is? Well, Jesus said, this is eternal life. That they would know Thee, the only true God. And, of course, Jesus Christ whom He sent. How important is it that we know Him? And in Daniel it says, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. How important is it? God wants us to know Him. You know what the Bible is? It is an ongoing book from Genesis to Revelation that is explaining the nature and the makeup of God to a bunch of people that are creation. And how we ever can get anything, it's be a miracle. And so God has given us a spirit nature. There's a part of us that's a spirit. And that spirit nature is able to pick up the truth things of God who is spirit. So it says walk in the spirit. Walk in the human spirit, which God wants to change into a supernatural thing, see? And then God allows men to decide whether they want to read His words of all truth or look for Him somewhere where He isn't. We can do whatever we want. And I spent a lot of years looking for God where He wasn't. And one day He had mercy on me and He said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. You know what? What kind of a statement is that? And I'm not sure anymore, it's been that many years, exactly how it was worded, but it was like, you got to look, if you want to find me, you got to look for where I am. And the next thing I knew, I had understanding that wouldn't quit. I knew exactly what I had to do. And I told Joanne, I said, you know, what we got to do is start listening to the scripture day and night. And because she was not, and wasn't coming from where I was at the moment, she said, but we got other things that we got to do too. And I said, no, I'm not saying that we got to stop living. You know, but we got to turn the scriptures on and just keep listening to them. And once it registered with her, then she was fine. But and I can remember somebody else that I told them about listening to the scriptures. And they said, I listened to, this is when we used to use cassettes. I listened to the scriptures, but then I hear something and I turn it back to listen. And I said, no, just listen. He's trying to analyze them because he had the kind of mind that analyzed. You know, he wanted to analyze what he just heard. And I said, no, don't try to analyze it. And so you can't find God where He isn't. And He is not in the church. And I hate to say that because people will get offended by what I'm saying. But you go to church, you don't find Him. And since His Word is the only place where God is able to be found, then there are literally millions of dead-end roads. And of course, I realize that I am an exception but in this. But it puzzles me how me or anyone else could look in other places. I said I'm an exception. I don't know what I meant by that, but maybe I'm an exception to the thought. Maybe is what I meant. I realized that I heard a voice that set me facing the right direction. See, I was desperate and was sure I was going to go to hell. I was asking God to fill me with His Spirit, and just a few days ago, okay. I didn't know if I had it written down, but I did. I realized that He did do that, and told us He would guide, the Spirit would guide us into all truth. And so we all began to consume God's words of truth, and the Holy Spirit began to take what Christ, God had said through His Son Christ and reveal it to us. Jesus said, He will take of mine and show it to you. Is that what He said? And then He says, all things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said, He will take a mind and show it to you. Meaning what? It's not double talk. It's just something for us to bite into and start to understand. That's why, everything the Father had, was given to the Son. And so He said, all things that the Father have in mind, and therefore I said, He will take a mind and show it to you. And so it starts to make sense. See, the words of God through Christ are in a dimension totally foreign to the natural and carnal-minded person. In fact, the Bible tells us that God's ways appear as foolishness to natural people. They appear as foolish. And so the natural man has no understanding of them. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it tells us that the natural-minded person is not able to understand the things of God. You know why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I put the word all in there. And I'm going to say, because they are all spiritually discerned. However, in verse 15, it says a spiritually minded person is able, I just got it, I just picked it up when I read it the other night, is able to judge accurately by the Holy Spirit. It says, but the spiritual person can judge all things. He can discern all things. It comes accurately to him. So we want to be spiritually minded. So in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, we see an often and easily overlooked verse of Scripture which says, because men refused, I want to put the word in refused, and did not receive a love for the truth, they could not be saved. So if men are dogmatic, what was the word that Corky used this morning? Like Don Burnett used to say, that people, a lot of people are like concrete. They're mixed up and permanently set. Well, you know what? I know a lot of those people. I've been there myself. And so if people are mixed up and permanently set, they're not open. So salvation becomes questionable. At first, I never saw the significance of that verse. And then the Holy Spirit began to compare and or add other verses and revelations of truth to that verse until I began to see the deep-rooted problems. They're all around us. I have been to a number of gatherings, not recently, but over the last few years, I've been to a number of gatherings where we have all kinds of people with all kinds of different doctrines. And you know what? Basically, each group, you know, if let's pick on the Lutherans. If a person goes to a Lutheran church, not only just a Lutheran church, but let's say a Southern Baptist Lutheran church, or they belong to the LCA, Lutheran Church of America, or the LAC, you know, or however they're worded. When you go to a different city, guess what you do? You belong to that church. You know what you do? You look for that synod. You don't want to get outside of it. And when I was in, we were in that church in Seattle. The pastor did not prepare his own messages. He read his messages. And when he was gone, he asked me to read them, and the people got irate and angry because he asked a lay person to get into the pulpit, the holy and sacred area, and speak words that were already written down. Do you know why he had them all written down? So that if people went to another church in another city, they would hear the same message. I'm going to judge it and say the same dead message. See, I was resting the other day, as I was sitting, that scripture came to mind that I quoted about in Mark 1:15, where Jesus said, "Repent and believe the gospel." And so, if you believe, in order to believe the real word of God, we have to discover what is not the real word of God. And repent from it. See, the devil is a liar. And as such, he has saturated man. I'm not sure I didn't skip something. No, okay. He has saturated man with all kinds of false doctrines so that men are left believing things that are foolish and stupid. They're stupid things that people believe. And only the Holy Spirit of God is able to straighten out the devil's lies and turn them into the truth of God. Only the devil can do that. Man can't do it. We're listening to the lies of the devil and we try to straighten them out and we try to analyze the scriptures and study the scriptures. And I heard somebody just told me the other day, somebody called me on the phone, I was talking to him, and they said, you know, I think that a couple of the chapters or a chapter in Revelation is in the wrong order. And I thought, I know this person didn't think that up. This person heard somebody say that, because that's what we used to hear from Don, you know. And so See, we don't see anything anywhere in the scriptures that even resembles a multiplicity of gods. That's a big word, but it means lots of them. We don't see anything that even suggests that. Or that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, anywhere ever suggested that He Himself was God. And even though Jesus told men to repent and believe the Gospels, it is though men feel somehow free to slip past the Gospels and add their subtle additions and take away whatever their minds don't like. You know, the fundamentals, for instance, I won't mention names here, but I will do. One of them was J. Vernon McGee. I don't know if you ever listened to him. I used to listen to him a lot, quite a bit. But he said that the 1 Corinthians 14 shouldn't even be in the scriptures. There's no foundation for it. Why? Because he didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And so, many, having grown up in false doctrines, feel free to ignore the obvious and plain scriptures, and to therefore go by their own organizational creeds and confessions or conclusions. See, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Paul said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. You see, what we're doing is we're thinking that men put the Bible together. And I'm saying, no, men did not put it together. God did. While we were unborn yet, God was still working on what He wants to work on. So over the centuries, God has put this together just for us, for this last hour. So we have in it exactly what you and I need. And so, yeah, I used to listen to this guy until one day he let me know that what I had just received was of the devil. And the next thing I knew, I was seeing the power of God manifested because of what we had received. And Acts 1:8, and people getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so tell me where my experience came from. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So back in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses made a strange statement and said, when God raises up a prophet like me from among the brethren, unto him shall you hear, listen, hearken. And I got a strange thing. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And since that day, the kingdom of God is preached. And the violent would take it by force. But I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. And so, the kingdom of God is being preached. It started with John the Baptist and Jesus. And so, Moses said, he says, that God's going to raise up a prophet like unto him. And so he said, unto him shall you hearken. Listen. That's what it means. To him shall you listen. And so, is he saying, listen to him rather than me? Since the old covenant, the Old Testament is abolished and set aside, and then the new one, which is the law of faith, has been instituted, wouldn't you say that he is saying, quit listening to me then when he comes and start listening to him? Unto him shall you listen. Wouldn't he be saying, hear him rather than me? And 1 John, or John 1:45, I think, Philip said, or 1:15, I'm not sure. Philip said, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. We have found him. And so repent and believe the Gospels. And then in Deuteronomy 18:19 again, God said this time, he said, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto the words which this man shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. If you won't listen to what he had to say, It's sin. God's going to require it. And so if men stubbornly refuse to look past inherited doctrines and traditions, and as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, and earnestly desire the sincere milk of the Gospels, or in Matthew 18:3, and let God convert them over to the childlike mindsets and believe the Gospels, are they okay if they won't let them? No, they're not. And when Matthew 7:14 tells us that few there be that find it, I'm starting to understand that few there be that find it. And the truth that God wants them to find, as or the receive a love for the truth, or what's the word up there? God's will is for all men to be saved. Come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the word I want. Coming to a knowledge of the truth. God wants us to have the truth. And you know why? Because truth is who God is. God is truth. I'm starting to understand. See, the truth as given by the eternal Creator is carefully contained within His Word. It was in the Old Testament contained. And in the New Testament explained. And the words that God spoke to men through His only begotten Son are the clearest and plainest declaration of God with God's thoughts and ways that exists. When I got that revelation to listen to the Scriptures, it was made clear to me, concentrate on the Gospels. Concentrate on the Gospels. Listen to them and listen. I listened to them until one day, a strange thing happened, and Steve will hear this, but I was out sharing some of these things with some of the people that I knew in Seattle, some large groups sometimes, and I told Steve Britton about it, just mentioned it to him. He took the scriptures and he started with Matthew 1, and he says by the time he got to Matthew 18, he said, I was a different person. Remember him telling us that? Just in that short of a time, he said it just affected him. It just did something to him. And that's because when we make ourselves available, God takes care of the rest. And so when Jesus said, actually, eternal life is to actually know the only true God, God Himself is the one that is telling us that. Jesus only spoke what the Father told Him to say. So when He said, eternal life is to know the only true God, He is only saying what God is saying through Him. Are you following me? And as such, Jesus made it clear to everyone that only through Him could the Father be known, that only through Christ would God reveal Himself to men. He says, no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will reveal Him. And did not Jesus tell us that no man knows the Father except Him? And how about Moses? Didn't Moses know the Father? Jesus says, no man knows the Father except Me. And then he makes a strange statement in John 6:46. And I'm not sure exactly what he means by this, but he says, no man has seen the Father except the Son, or the one God sent has seen the Father. John 6:46. You got to read it yourself. I don't have it written down here quite right. And so do men somehow see God in and of the things that they see God doing? And so in that sense, I have seen God myself. I have seen God. And so have others. Or who has seen remember that little saying that we had in grade school? I don't know if anybody else ever did. I did. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their head, the wind is passing by. So the evidence of the wind is the trees bending over. The evidence that God exists is all you got to do is see a Jerome Wagenius healed. Or you got to see, that's all you got to do. You see that, where'd it come from? Well, that was a strange incident. And so, and Jesus seemed to suggest in John 14, 9 and 10, that by seeing what God does or is doing is almost the same thing as seeing God Himself. See, we might say, well, so-and-so was here yesterday and did the things that you see around us. You know, the carpenter was here. And, you know what? Did you see the carpenter? No, but you saw what he did. And that's what he's saying. You see me, you see the Father. I'm doing the things that the Father is doing through me. So somebody did it. Anyway, which brings me to a really interesting place here. So if you see the things that somebody did, it's almost like you saw the person that did it. I never actually saw God heal Jerome. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see God heal him. And yet, he was healed supernaturally somehow. And so, did I not see God by what I saw? Of course I did. We got to look at it a little different. We got to get a different picture. God's invisible. You're not going to see God anyway. And of course, God was not an option as far as the doctors were thinking when Jerome was healed. When Jerome said, God healed me, he said, I can't buy it. I can't accept that. Well then, what story do you have? You took all these x-rays and here I am. I'm everything is perfect. Explain to me what happened. Well, I can't explain it, but God, I know God didn't do it. See, God was not an option. It makes me wonder what, if anything, the medical profession finally came up with. What did they do with this? It has stayed recorded in the King County Medical Hospital for years. I don't know if it still is or not. What did they do with it? See, if they didn't do it and couldn't do it, then how did it happen? And now they have to begin to be dishonest. They have to start being dishonest in how they think, don't they? Well, we don't know how it happened, but God didn't do it. God is invisible to the human eye. And He has created us in just such a way so that we're not able to see Him. And why? Only God knows. I don't know why. In Isaiah 45:15, we are told that God is a God that hides Himself. But if God is invisible anyway, why does He have to hide? Maybe it means that He is one who hides Himself from man's understanding or from the natural-minded person or from the fool who says in his heart there is no God. And as such, millions will one day shake in horror as they have to stand before the one that they refuse to acknowledge and accept as real. I heard a voice, and yet I never saw anybody. However, I knew who was behind the voice. Plus, the rest of what was revealed and has totally changed and transformed myself and other people. See, that is how the Word of God works. You know, the scripture, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. I think I got it. A little bit of the Word of God takes care of a whole lot of more. You know what I mean? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And as such, as soon as I was made to know that God could only be found in one place, I quit looking where He can't be found. See, that's part of the secret. You quit looking where He can't be found and start looking where He can be found, and you'll find Him. Does that kind of make sense? See, that's the problem that many people have in thinking that they can trust their great wisdom and intellect, and they spend years looking for truth where truth cannot be found. And like fools, they add the eternal word of the Creator of all things to the rest of their books, not realizing that the words that are of the Bible are of spirit, nature, and substance, and therefore are not even in the same category as the other books. Because of the cross and switchblade by Dave Wilkerson's experience, where he quit watching TV at night and started praying instead, God transformed his life and a lot of people around him. The Assembly of God Church, I hate to say this, but they kicked him out of their organization because he would not go by what they wanted him to do. He says, "No, I'm going to go by what God wants." Did you know that? Oh, they wanted him back afterwards, and I don't know if he ever rejoined him or not. They got him, they kicked him out. I didn't, that was in the cross and switchblade. I had to find that somewhere else. But see, due to the false doctrines and the false ideas that exist within today's church systems, I mean, even the churches are basically without truth. And so men go from church to church. It's usually to a church that's within their same organization, trying to find who knows what. Never, ever finding it because God won't let them. See, that's what happened in Amos 8, 11, and 12. God wouldn't let him find it. As they traveled from the sea to sea, from the east to the north. I don't know why east to the north, but they traveled all over to find the word of God. And it says, and they shall not find it. You know what that tells me? God won't let him find it. He's not going to produce truth out of false doctrine. You have to start with truth. And so when men do move 500 miles away, they try to find the same organization they're part of. They don't, you know, it's hard to leave it. They don't want to change. And so men travel thousands of miles and will only go to a, quote, sister church, a church like they're familiar with, and never realizing that God is not a denominational deity. He's a creator. He's a creator. Hallelujah.